People of the world, hello and welcome to The Brothers Talk with your hosts, Rod, Scott, and Norm, where our purpose is a simple one. Tune into our weekly podcast each Friday, wherever you listen to your favorite programs or on this website to hear us, three black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice as the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. To reach us with your comments, questions, and suggestions, we're at The Brothers Talk on Twitter, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, the Facebook group of the same name, and if you care to share in more detail, hit us up at the email address, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Also, stay tuned for details about our upcoming news and perspective show on Millennium TV's M24 streaming news station. And welcome to another episode of the podcast. And as always, we want to thank you for joining us in the Zoom layer. And we're grateful for your time, your comments, and for spreading the word to keep the emphasis on Black economic empowerment. You know that's what we're about and how we must always include a focus on critical thinking. And while we're at it, keep supporting Black businesses with both our dollars and our lips, because we're always being challenged and the pandemic has made it worse. Let's do this, people. Let's buy Black. And a quick reminder that if you're on Facebook, you can find and check out Black businesses in our group of some 4,000 members. Hashtag Black Dollars Matter, relaunching Black Wall Street nationwide. Or if you just want to share your thoughts with us, there's the Brothers Talk group on Facebook. And you can also find us on Twitter at The Brothers Talk, on Instagram, or you can email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. Before we begin, a few words about the pandemic, because once again, it's 402-year-old twin. Yep, racism has not so quietly been infiltrating the vaccination process as well. We all knew that race was a dominant factor in why we've been disproportionately infected and dying from the coronavirus. But what has now become equally true, as all the experts claim that our risk and vulnerability makes us a priority for the vaccines, is that we're lagging behind almost every other ethnic group in getting the shots. Now, originally, they blamed it on our hesitancy regarding our well-founded suspicion of the medical field. And they spent a lot of time focusing on convincing us to get registered. But here's the thing. That worked well, because the latest Kaiser survey said that we are the second highest group in favor of the vaccine, with 70% of us saying we definitely probably will take it, with whites at only 73%. So how is it that 63% of those who've gotten vaccinated are white and we're only 6%? That's less than a tenth of the whites. And everywhere you turn, you hear stories in our communities about how jacked up the process is, trying to get appointments while white folks are just sailing along and gaming the system. There's even a story about the poorest Black community in Alabama, where their medical facilities haven't received a single dose of the vaccine, while the richest white community has excess vaccine. So I say all that because I believe there's too much emphasis still being placed on that remaining 30% who may or may not be convinced to get the shot, instead of putting at least equal focus on the inequity in distribution, especially when we're still being the hardest hit community. So let's do what we have to do to make sure that those of us who have chosen to get the shot can do so. And now here, my brothers in the struggle, Scott and Norm.
Hey, family, just want to kind of mimic what Rod just said. Always go out and buy Black. Take that shot when you can. This virus is devastating our communities. We're being discriminated again, as usual. Be vigilant and go out and get the shot.
Again, I want to actually follow Scott. I did get the shot this week, and I noted that there were just very few Black men or men of color, period, in the center getting these shots. And I just question, are we turning down an opportunity when we do have them to get the shots? What do you think, Rod?
No, I think it's more about us being discriminated in terms of getting the shots, because there's too many folks out there that we're hearing from who are trying to get those shots. So do what you have to find a way to get the shots. If you got to figure out a way to do what the white folks are doing, I hear about them going to other municipalities, even other states, to get it. So if you find you're having too much difficulty, especially those of you who are at risk and in the comorbidity groups, we want to make sure we understand we don't have any of us to spare. So this week, our special guest is Adam Robinson. Until recently, a professional basketball player who played in Spain, Mexico, and the NBA's G League. He has an MBA from St. John's University, and in March of last year started Take One Sportswear, an up-and-coming e-commerce athletic brand that by October was airing ads on billboards in New York. Adam spoke at a Microsoft convention last week for a Black History Month panel, and that was held for a few select Black businesses. Take One has also sponsored a number of youth sports teams around the country, and they're in the process of getting endorsements from professional athletes while also working on their app. Welcome to the Zoom Den, Adam, and feel free to greet the best group of listeners any podcast could have.
How you doing, everybody? Thank you for having me. I've heard about the Brothers Talk, and I've been wanting to get on here for a while. My name is Adam Robinson. I'm the president and CEO of Take One Sportswear. Thank you for having me.
Great. So why don't we jump right into it? So what facilitated your transition into the world of Black entrepreneurship?
So the pandemic had a lot to do with it. I remember specifically I was playing basketball in Mexico, and we had kind of got word towards the middle of the season that the coronavirus was spreading pretty heavily in America, and they were going to have to shut down the rest of our season. And that was kind of happening for a lot of people, a lot of my friends who are also professional athletes playing in various different countries. They all kind of had their seasons canceled. So I remember when my season got canceled, they kind of had got me a ticket to go back home to Maryland. And I told them that I wanted to go to Texas instead. That's where my grandmother was, because in my mind, coming out of college, basketball was the way that I was planning to make money. You know, that was kind of all I had focused on up until that point. And I didn't want to go home because I didn't know what I was going to do. I kind of had no direction. So I wanted to go to Dallas to stay with my grandmother for a little bit to just kind of figure things out and just get a change of scenery. So I just remember kind of sitting in her guest bedroom on my iPad, just trying to figure out like, basketball literally stopped at that point, which I thought could never happen in my lifetime, at least. And I just had to kind of figure out what I was going to do next. And the way I went about it is I just kind of tried to see how I could monetize something that I was passionate about, something that I enjoyed doing. And I know personally, I came up with Take One, and I know personally that I like to, well, I know what I want to wear when I, as an athlete, when I'm working out, when I'm playing basketball, when I'm doing anything athletic. And then I have a lot of professional athletes that are friends as well. And I felt like I know what they like to wear as well. So that's kind of where it came from. And it just kind of developed from there. I have no clue that it would end up being as big as it's become at this point. But that's kind of how the process went.
Adam, so what were the biggest challenges for you to actually get this business up off the ground and running?
Well, I would say the first big challenge for me was just kind of getting out of my own head. I know that up until this point, I'd kind of been known to my peers as a basketball player only. And it was kind of me stepping out of my comfort zone to kind of advertise that I was starting this brand. And I was taking it super seriously. You know, some people start brands and stuff, and it's just kind of, you know, their own thing. But I was trying to not really necessarily make it about me. I was trying to start a company and just kind of worried about what other people would think. I know, you know, in my area, specifically PG County, people, you know, don't always have the nicest things to say about other people. So just kind of getting out of my own head and, going for it. That was probably like my biggest challenge at the beginning. And then from there, it was just kind of figuring out the process, because I had no type of background in fashion or anything like that. So I kind of really had to teach myself and research about different vendors and different materials and stuff like that, and building a team of people that I trust to do, you know, specific tasks. And then just putting my all into it, putting that same effort that I put into basketball into the business world.
Being a retired athlete myself, I've been through a lot of different garments and gear. What is your niche? What did you find that's working for you in this industry?
I would probably say just more than anything, networking and just people who really trust me and trust my opinion. I know I have developed a lot of relationships over time, just playing sports, playing basketball. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that are professional athletes, and they trust me. They trust my opinion. They know I wouldn't sell them anything that was subpar. So I guess my vision was for athletes to have a Black-owned option outside of a Nike or Under Armour or an Adidas. That was probably the biggest motivation. Most of those companies are, you know, it's no secret that they're predominantly white-owned, even though most of the people that they market to are Black. And I just wanted, you know, my community to have, you know, a Black-owned option first and foremost, and then it just kind of grew from there.
So, Dom, you have entered into, obviously, an extremely crowded and extremely competitive field. So what makes your products unique? What was going to be your stock and trade other than knowing that it's a Black-owned company? Because I'm sure you're interested in also crossing over and getting the white dollar to come in as well. So what makes your products different from your competition?
Absolutely. Just the materials that we use. We outsource our materials from just different countries. I'm not going to get in too many specifics, but we outsource our materials from different countries, and we have some of the most water resistant, sweat resistant materials that you really can have in an athletic brand. I know that after someone like Jeff Doughton, who's currently playing in the NBA G League, he tried some of our materials. Obviously, he's had, you know, he's been playing in some like Adidas. He played for Rhode Island, so he's been playing in Adidas, Nike, Under Armour his whole life. And when he, you know, when I gave him some Take One, he was blown away about the comfortability of the material. It doesn't get a lot of wear and tear. We recently just customized our own socks that have a completely different feel from any socks out there. I mean, they don't feel like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas socks at all. I think they're the most comfortable socks on the market personally. And I would challenge anyone to get a pair and try it for themselves. I really think that they'd be surprised at the quality of our apparel.
So, Adam, you mentioned that you were outsourcing a lot of this to from another country or something like that. I think you said that. How did you get connected with those companies? Were they in China or Vietnam or India?
So a lot of the companies, again, it kind of goes back to networking. Like I said, I played in a couple different countries and kind of using those networks that I have from there. Normally, when people try to get materials from America, they're all already pretty super overpriced. So it was always best to go to another country if you can to outsource your materials. Personally, I can say that I did. One of the countries that I went to get some materials is Spain, which is where I played at for about 2 or 3 months. And the connections that I made there was allowed me to kind of just network and figure out, you know, who I could kind of rely on and get my materials from.
What can we do as far as Black people and friends of yours, what have you, people who do podcasts like this, to promote your business, help you promote it?
I would say our biggest form of promotion right now would be social media. We have commercials airing on in New York City mostly, just because that's kind of like the biggest market as far as, you know, billboards and things of that nature. But social media, I think, is the biggest thing, because it really doesn't cost anything to like a post, repost, send it to a friend, comment, things of that nature actually really help. I know people, you know, say that it doesn't really make a difference, but engagement on social media is one of the biggest things in our age today. that helps kind of support the business.
So what's your ultimate goal with Take One? Where do you see yourself?
So I haven't set out a specific goal in mind for myself, but the way that I have seen it and the way that I continue to see it is I'm just going to push it as far as that as I can take it. I mean, I don't see why it can't be as big as a Nike one day or Under Armour one day. I've done a lot of research on Under Armour's owner, Kevin Plank, who is from our area. He's from Maryland, and kind of his story and him being able to kind of come up in the ranks. And he really just kind of started a business out of his garage, from what I've read. And I just don't know why there hasn't been a Black entrepreneur who hasn't tried to take the same route or been successful taking the same route. And, you know, why not me?
So are you thinking about partnership, a partnership with say Nike or Reebok on the arm or one of the other big box stores?
No, I wouldn't want to partner with them. I would want us to kind of stand alone in our own, you know, as our own company, as our own brand. Because I just think that we have that potential. And it's just like how far we have grown since March 2020 when we launched is substantial. We've gone fast. In our first 6 months, we had billboards, like I said, in New York City. In our first 9 months, we were sponsoring youth sports teams around the country on the AAU circuit, in football leagues. And that's all in under a year. So where we're going to be in 5 years, I really can't say, but I know that I'm going to do everything I can to push it as far as possible.
Okay. Are there any local stores? I mean, you say you were marketing in New York City. Mm-hmm. Is there any place we can go out maybe tomorrow and look for your products?
So our products are, we're an e-commerce company as of right now, so we don't have a brick and mortar at the moment, but you can always go on our website, takeonesportswear.com. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. It's not hard to find us, but Take One Sportswear is our, the main place that people go to shop.
That's great. Adam, again, thanks for being our guest. We'll keep monitoring your progress as well as sharing the Take One story. You are our positive Black business experience of the week. And so that's Take One. So Adam, please say once again exactly how our Brothers Talk family can find you and get your products.
Yes, we're www.takeonesportswear.com. And you can also find us on Instagram at Take One Sportswear.
Terrific. We want to thank Adam for coming into the Brothers Talk Den and sharing. And he certainly serves as a spark of encouragement for others of you out there who are interested in doing the same thing, because that's certainly a major component of rebuilding Black Wall Street nationwide. So remember, you can follow us at the Brothers Talk on Twitter, the Brothers Talk on Instagram, and the Facebook group of the same name. And of course, if you want to go long form, it's thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. So much love and our continued gratitude for your time. And we will always commit that we'll never take it or you for granted. And remember, let's do better today, because that's all we really have.